I'm your host, Felicia, and the Villa of Wellness podcast will cover the dimensions of wellness, such as social, emotional, occupational, environmental, and much more. Episodes will be released weekly on Thursdays with me as your guide, helping you on your journey to better health and wellness, and will provide ideas for you for practices you can use to help you stay motivated, positive, and also some courage when you need it. You can reach me on Instagram and YouTube at The Villa of Wellness, and I hope to hear from you and hope you enjoy the show.
You're so funny.
Okay.
But I am into these things, though. Like, I have them because I do believe in, like, the energetic thing that it does bring.
Speaking of energetic,
but this for is my like birthday, straight up onyx.
That's cool.
Black onyx?
Yeah.
It's like protection, too, right? Like, good for protection?
Yeah. So, it's protection, or this is obsidian. I gotta double check my stuff.
Obsidian, I think.
Obsidian. Because it does absorb, like, negativity and stuff, but then it also project or, like, amplifies other things and realities. So it's just, like, people are always like, yeah, it's going to be protected, but also be ready for what it's going to teach you.
What did you say? Energy accepted?
I said challenge accepted.
Oh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was in August, and I was just texting my friend who lives there, and she normally comes and visits me for my birthday since, like, Keanu was born, and I was like, I kind of want to visit you, and so I already told my partner that I was going to visit her at some point, so I just made it to be, we're kind of planning it to be for August.
Where? Where's
in New Orleans.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be so fun. I always wanted to visit her there. So
have you been?
Have you?
No. But also, I'm scared. Yeah, but I'm also just like, there's a lot of spiritual energy there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's how you approach it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I told her just bring me to, like, all the hoodoo shops and stuff, and that'll be fun. She goes, girl, there's everyone in every corner. I was like, okay.
Wait, is your friend into that?
Well, she's a therapist, so she identifies as queer, and that's, like, her people that she serves, too. But she also helps cis people, too. And so she's into tarot and, like, you know, she's kind of spiritual. Yeah. I mean, tarot. I don't know what that. Anyway.
Tarot bubble tea.
Yeah. And so I gave her some oracle cards for her birthday. It was this on the 12th. So, yeah.
And what are your thoughts and her thoughts around that? Because I feel like some people are like, oh, you can't get it gifted or whatever.
Oh, I just ordered it off eBay. I just delivered it to her. But they're nice cards. I even bought some myself. So they're about Mary Magdalene oracle cards.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'll show you the cover.
Like biblical?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, it's
not
a
thought.
I like the author. And then I have her other oracle cards, too. The Divine Feminine. So I like these ones. They make me feel good. So
Yeah.
She really appreciated it because I had spoken to her when I got, like, the flu, and I mentioned Mary Magdalene. And so, yeah, I like it. I wasn't really into it.
You have what? The same deck.
I got this for myself. I bought it for myself first, and then I ordered one, like, the next day for her to have it delivered at her place.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure she'll, like, bless it, you know, like, all the stuff.
Yes, that's also true, right? There are ways to also, you know, cleanse, recharge, and all of the things.
And I try to work with them every day. I try to, like, do some every day so that I have some sort of connection with it.
Tell me more about that because
I found the divine cards from another friend I had online because we went to the same life coaching program. And I liked the deck. I thought it was pretty, so I looked for it. And then when I got it, it's all about these women who are like six or like leaders from the past, all feminine, divine person. So it just kind of gave me some, you know, like little oomph of like, oh yeah, because there's other women from the past or figures from the past that did a lot of things. So, I mean, I don't know much about Mary. I'm trying to get into it. I'm trying to learn about her and like what she did. I know she was like the first woman apostle or something like that. I mean, I'm not really into the Bible. I'm just sort of like finding myself in it. So, but it makes me feel good. Like, you know?
Yes. And you got that through a coaching seminar or something? No.
Yeah. So my internet friend who I met online, we went to the same coaching institute and I saw that she had the Divine Feminine deck, which was the second one I showed you. Mm-hmm. And so I bought myself Oracle cards because I like the messaging and all that. Like I'm not really into tarot cards just yet because you can be intuitive and interpret it how you want to interpret it as far as Oracle cards go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Decks. Those are not tarot decks. Those are not tarot. Okay, yeah. Oracle.
Tarot decks are more like, you know, the Six of Swords or the Queen of Cups. You know.
Yes. Yes. Which I started to get into.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
What made you want to get into it?
You know, it's just a long... it's just like... like when you think about how you get into stuff, right? And then you start to go down... like the different paths of what led you to here. And it's just like, I mean, the thing is, I also very much believe in like, you know, history, science, things like that, that we have more concrete information around, right? But then there's always the part that's like, well, how do we account for and explain what we deem as miracles, right? Like things that happen that like on a logistic level, should have never happened, right? Or deemed impossible. Or like when people get diagnoses of stuff, right? And they're told it's you only have like a few months or whatever, yet then they go on to survive for like years to come, you know? So it's like, how do we explain those instances, right? But it's still stuff that happens in all the different lifetimes, right? From however back we can look at the different stories and stuff that people documented, like there are also documented cases of miracles, you know, that even the best minds and the best scientists and the best mathematicians, whoever of the time, right, didn't have answers for, you know. So there's always that part that I think either people just take for face value of just like, oh yeah, it's just a miracle, and then like, you know, that's what it is, like hallelujah, praise whoever, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I think a lot of people don't look that much further or maybe don't have interest or the time to. But to me, I'm just like, why not study those aspects of life in the same way we treat other things that we're taught in school, you know? And so then, I mean, I think what eventually got me to here was because I was like genuine interest of just like trying to understand people, psychology, humanity. And then that there's always those pieces that I'm just like, there's no like direct correlation for some of this stuff. So there's got to be something beyond what we can fathom and make sense of because of our own human limitations. And so it's just like, it would feel weird to disregard all of this other stuff, right? That we're not seeing. And I mean, like literally seeing and, you know, so it was... psychology, right? So I got into all the psychology stuff. Oh, and then got into sociology, psychology, all of the studies is where it started. And this was back when I was like in middle school and high school and just reading the psychology and self-help books that were around and available. Because also I was like, why aren't we just teaching this? Why is this something that we're just not learning about in class? And it's like, we have answers to understand each other better, but we're not putting any focus on that. Mm-hmm. And so that was just the thing that I got into on my own time and in my own interests. And then psychology, sociology, and then personality tests, right? Mm-hmm. All of, oh my God, mm-hmm. the era mm-hmm. of like all those online quizzes when we were growing up. Girl. Me,
which one are you? I always get the INJ. I forget what that one is. But
Myers-Briggs.
Yeah. I forget which personality that was. But it was always, yeah. I always got similar results every time I take it.
Myers-Briggs mm-hmm. stuff. The Enneagram stuff, right? The one mm-hmm. about the different numbers. Like, all of these profiles of, like, personalities. And then, which then also leads you to astrology, right? Because you talk about your sign. And then it's also like, yes, but astrology, you know, is also tied to, you know, things in space and things that we also have info about, but yet it's still looked at as woo-woo because it's like, you know.
And it's fun. Well, I just was talking to another friend of mine who is an astrologer, and she's going to read me in a couple weeks, but she read my son's birth chart like a year ago. And so I talked to her. She'll do mine in a couple weeks, like in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Let me know.
I mean, I had mine done before with another person, but I kind of want her to do it. And then.
Sure. Sorry.
What was that?
I'm excited. I'm like, we're talking over each other. I say people also interpret the information different. So even if you were to get it somewhere, I feel like if you got it done again by other people, you'll probably get something different out of it.
Yeah. And she was saying, like, even the deck of cards were derived from tarot cards.
Yes.
And even if people are skeptics, the days of the weeks are named after planets.
Right.
Even the months of the year, I think certain months of the year. I mean, there's so many things. So it's like, and I think she said that they still teach astrology at a university in the UK, I believe.
I grew up mostly in the US. Did you mm-hmm. live anywhere else?
No, I grew up here.
I think that's the other part. Mm-hmm. Culturally, maybe it's just not as valued in the same mm-hmm. way. It's like,
mm-hmm.
who can go get a master's of that here in mm-hmm. the U.S., mm-hmm. you know? Versus, like you're saying, your friend studied in another country somewhere, and that's totally valid.
Oh, no, I think she studied here. I'm not sure. But she just said there's a university in London or UK that still offers it as a minor or a major. I grew up religious, but I never liked going to church ever.
Yeah.
And I had to wear dresses going to church and just, you know, so it just wasn't my jam. So I stopped eventually, but it's just a practice just to get myself in focus or just kind of warm up my energy. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like, what messages do I need to hear now? Maybe I can resonate with them. Maybe it'll give me some sort of perspective on something that is going on.
No, I get that. And I think that's also why my interest in all of that stuff also peaked more, because of also just having, like, I mean, I did the whole religion thing, and it's because you're raised a certain way. And so, like, you practice and you do all the things that come with that religion. And, you know, I was like raised Catholic. So, you know, the whole church thing, the communion, like all of that stuff, and, you know, Christmas being a big thing, and Easter, right? Because it's all around the stories and theology of what it means to be Catholic, Christian, however you want to categorize it. But then, you know, it was just always hard to just be like, I don't know how much of this I truly, you know, agree with. Some of the ways that it's interpreted and how, like, priests would talk about, you know, their hominies, right? And it's just like, this is, how are you getting this message out of, like, this text kind of thing, you know? And then when it started to get used to tell you that some people are better than others, and that's the distinction of, like, who's going to be saved and go to heaven and mm-hmm. and hell and all of this. And it was just like, shouldn't it be based on you and your merits as a person versus like just your identity. So especially when they started talking about it and using it for, like, you know, queer people in general. And I was like, all right, that's it. This is bullshit.
It's very judgmental. It's very judgmental. And growing up in a religious family is very forceful in a way, because you're not, you can't ask questions. You can't question, like, you know, why do we have to do this? Why are you saying that? There's nothing like that. I mean, I didn't grow up Catholic, but it's the same. I grew up Iglesia.
There was definitely a lot of those kind of things that I was just like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I fully agree with all this stuff, mm-hmm. and also in how they're telling you how to live your life and how to do certain things and blah, blah, blah. But I was like, I still believe in, like, higher beings or some other forces or, like, spirituality. Because I think that's also part of what helps you get through life. You got to find hope and you got to find some kind of inspiration and motivation somewhere, you know, because life is, it can be real rough and real bleak at times, you know.
The hardest part is living.
Yes.
I think when I started to dip into more, like, do I believe, like, souls or spirits? I think as I sort of were open to it, like, my idea of death and dying, like, I'm not as scared.
Afterlife stuff also.
Honestly, I really do. I feel if it would be sad not to. I do believe, because I think I mentioned it to you too. When I was pregnant, I dreamt of my grandma 3 times. And I didn't even think about her before bed. She just showed up in my dreams. And I woke up crying, because in the dream I was hugging her, because she's shorter than me. I was hugging her like this. And I woke up crying. I was like, wow, like, if that's not a sign, then I don't know what is, you know, like, she's trying to, like, she's somewhere trying to, like, reach me and let me know that she's letting me know that she knows that I'm pregnant and she knows that I'm having a kid.
Did she not speak in your dream? Like, you didn't talk?
I don't remember talking. I just knew it was her because it looked exactly like her. And she was like my maternal figure between those ages, like 7 to 12 or 5 to 12.
Oh.
What's that?
Were you current you in your dream or were you younger you?
I was current me because I was tall. Yeah, it was crazy because I was hovering over her like this.
Right.
And she was wearing her little glasses and, like, she had her colored hair. You know, old people still color their hair. So I just knew it was her. I don't know. It was crazy.
Right. And so it's like, how do you account for things like that? Right. Like, how mm-hmm. do you make sense of that? And there mm-hmm. is studies. I know there are because I've read a few. But it's also just, like, the specificity of what happens, you know? It's like you recognize, like, this person. Like, you wake up to this feeling, you know, of, like, being hugged. Like, you were sleeping. It's not like there was actually that, you know? But even if that's the case, then that tells you that even the mind works in, like, really wild ways, yeah. you know? And even on that front, it was very specific that it was, like, your grandma who meant a lot to you, right? And then showed up in your dream, because also the ways that our minds work in the dream state, it pulls people and characters in our dreams based off of faces we have registered or know or have seen. So it's like, if you think about how many people and faces you've seen in your lifetime
mm-hmm.
so far, right? Like, what was it about your mind that chose your grandma?
My subconscious, you know? Like,
yeah, right.
Like, I didn't even know I was going to dream about her. And I didn't even dream about her before. And then I didn't dream about her even after. So, like, when I was pregnant, there's something, I think for me, like, because my senses were so heightened and my emotional state was kind of heightened.
Because you were pregnant?
Because I was pregnant, and also I was going through familial issues as well. I wasn't, like, thinking about my grandma, you know what I mean? So she just kind of appeared 3 times.
Oh, yeah, 3 times.
3 different dreams. One. No, 3 different times while I was pregnant. I told my husband, I was like, I dreamt about her again. What the heck? Like, is she trying to, like, tell me something? Like, she was here with me. I woke up crying. I think she's just telling me that she's with me. She knows I'm pregnant. You know, because I don't have a mother. I couldn't remember. I couldn't even tell you if it was every trimester, but I think it could have been. It could have been.
Because when you're saying three times, and I'm just like, the length of pregnancies is trimesters. Like, girl,
I know. Three. I know. Trimesters. And it's funny because she had so many kids and so many grandkids. So I have so many first cousins, like at like 30 or something, you know? So I'm just like, yeah, I mean, she really understood me as a child, like, because I didn't have a parent. So yeah, I don't know. That was just kind of wild.
Yeah, I mean.
So thinking about that and then thinking about like the afterlife, it kind of makes me less scared about it. Because I still see myself as an old lady, though. Like, I picture myself, like, really gray hair, really old. So I kind of imagine myself being that. I don't see myself going anytime soon. I imagine that I have a long life.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much to go off of. And just
also, you know, like, your mental state is, like, whatever we imagine, whatever, like, dream or whatever we think, we also have to protect our brains and our minds. So that's why I think that's why I started reading oracle cards for myself, just because I want, like, the positive and love messaging. I think I need that coming from somewhere. I mean, I get it, you know, like, physical, but I need to nourish myself in that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, even distinguishing between, like, physical love, right, that also varies from person to person. And also, which is interesting, like, as people get older, they say that that kind is, you know, they seek something beyond that, you know?
Beyond the physical?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, okay, interesting. Like, what happens in, like, the later developments? Or do we just, like, as people seek something more than the more primal and more immediate things? And what is that thing? The needs, right? Like, the food, shelter, like all of that. Like, is it just because we are moving further up it, hopefully, in life as you progress? So maybe it's that part, you know? But then it's also just, like, you think about people who, no matter how old they get, it's still kind of just like, oh no, if age is maturity.
Also personality, right? I think of personality as kind of being permanent, but I think if someone really wanted to expand or whatever you want to call it, like neuroplasticity, you know, building neural pathways, like doing things differently, understanding things. I think that's why I'm so interested in people that are different from me, like, because I get so much out of it.
I think it's an openness and an interest in that, right? Because there's, I think, a lot of people, and also there's a bunch of studies on aging, right? And oh, that was the thing. I gotta find these charts that I was talking about last time. But like, the whole thing of like how many people, you know, you see on a regular basis and how much time you spend with them, right? As you get older, it just goes down, right? And then the same thing, like if you have kids, like the time with your kids and that you spend with your families all just starts to go down as you get older, you know? And so there's also just that part. But I think, I mean, yes, I think, or I like to think, that that is part of it is natural, right? Because people will also age as you age. And of course, people will pass. But then it's that thing of just like, why do people feel that you can't meet others or expand or continue to expand as you age also, you know? Like, people are always like, high school, the best days of your life, or college are the best days. And I'm just like, what? Is that what you're holding on to for like the rest of your life? And that was just like the best days that you've had. And I'm just like, and the thing is, most people keep, you know, their contacts and their connections and their friends from those time frames, you know, and just try to carry them as far out into, or maybe have an expectation of that's what it's going to be. And I mean, great if it works for y'all, you know, but I don't think that's everybody's case, you know.
It's not mine at all.
Right. And so, like, when people talk about that, or like, oh, it's harder to make friends as an adult and stuff like that.
I mean, yes, it is. Well, it depends on how you look at it. I'm just more picky. It's hard in a sense because people are like, well, I don't know. I can only speak for myself, but.
Yeah, I mean, we're only speaking for ourselves, right? Like, I'm not trying to speak for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you attract who you are, right? So as far as like friends go and maybe partners go, I don't know. But if you're going to be a grumpy person, then you're not going to meet much people. If you're grumpy and like you criticize and you're so judgmental, no one's going to stick around you.
I was going to ask you about when you're talking about you attract who you are, right? Oh, it's true.
Do I think it's true?
Do you think it's true all the time?
As far as like, if you want close friends or deeper relationships or close relationships, I think so. It also depends where your state of mind is. Because I have friends from 10 years ago, but we don't live in the same state. But some of them I still keep regular contact. But I do think, as far as personality and what you both want out of the friendship, I think you do attract who you are. In a sense, if you are an empathetic person and open-minded, you're eventually going to meet someone like that, and you're going to know it intuitively. It's the energetic thing, you know, you're going to know. So, I mean, yeah, the pool is maybe a little bit smaller as you get older, but there's still people out there looking for friends. I mean, there's Facebook groups in your local communities, like mom groups, for example. Different moms meet up with each other. People in the same career field can meet up with each other. I mean, then you'll find maybe one person you can connect with. So I just think it's just like, what effort are you making to make friend or even one friend? It's uncomfortable for sure, but I think it's important to be in social settings. And, you know, even just finding one friend out of a huge group. I do think, maybe not all the time because we have coworkers and family members and stuff like that. But I think if you're intentional of like, hey, I want to meet more like-minded people, or at least I want to connect, I'm going to reach out to people who I know already. And maybe they want to do this project with me or have coffee. Or maybe my esthetician is pretty cool and she wants to have lunch because she's a mom too, as an example. Yeah, I do believe that.
I mean, there's part of me that, yes, I think that is a piece of it, you know, in terms of like, you know, the state that you're in will attract, you know, whatever, and all the stuff about like manifesting and that stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know, but sometimes, you know, you just get stuff that you did not ask for, you know?
Of course. Of
or
course.
Maybe you didn't
dissipate
like whether you consciously asked for it or not, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets tricky, because that whole thing of like the saying, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so like, there's a lot of times when I'm just like, okay, Lord, give me the patience, right? Grant me the patience to deal with whatever. And then of course it comes in the form of like more people who just push my buttons, and I can either choose to tap into patience or lose my shit, you know? So it's just like, it's also the thing, be careful what you wish for, because you don't know what form is going to come in. Do you believe in destiny or fate?
Do I believe in destiny or fate?
Do you believe in purpose also? Like that in life purpose?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I feel like we make our own destiny if we are intentional and we are aware of like whatever's around us or opportunities or whatever you want to call it. Most of the time it can't appear on its own. Sometimes there just has to be effort to be made. But I don't know. I think it just depends on the person. Like for me, I do. Yeah, I mean,
what is your purpose and what is your destiny?
That's a good question. My purpose, I think I'm supposed to be a creative person that's like something with communication or connecting or something like that. It may not be written in stone exactly, but I feel like it's getting more of what I'm doing. Because before I used to feel really stressed out. I used to feel there was a pull that I couldn't really understand or a negative thing about something that I'm doing. But yeah, so like what I'm doing now, I feel like it feels good. Like I, you know, this project or being a mom was one of those other things. I feel like we have many purposes because I was thinking like, yeah, I'm empathetic, but what am I supposed to do with that? You know, like, am I supposed to be like understanding? Yeah, I can be understanding. I don't see myself as like a therapist or a counselor, you know, because I think that's too much for me to handle, like energetically, even though I find myself to be very understanding and empathetic. I don't think I could do it as work day in and day out. But so, yeah, I'm getting closer. So, what my thing was that I'm getting closer now, I had to get rid of all the negative energy that was blocking me. That could be people, you know, that could be a way of thinking. That could just be my own perception of things. So I had to like rearrange certain things in order for me to get clear on certain things. It's a whole thing. It's a whole, and manifesting, I mean, it's a fun word to throw around nowadays. But yeah, I mean, you gotta try, you know, because if you don't try, how do you know what's gonna work and what's not gonna work? How you have to figure stuff out. And like I learned just recently, like, what is it? Just because you don't succeed is not failure. You just have to try something that's, you gotta pick a direction, see if it works, and if it doesn't work, you gotta pivot. So it's not really failure. It's just failure is part of success. So that's how I kind of see it. I don't know if I'm answering your question. It's a loaded question for sure. So
No, for sure. It is definitely a loaded question, which is why I
yeah.
brought it up. That's
Well,
what it's
purpose
like.
is just kind of like, I feel like it kind of changes. Like, I mean, like your personality can have so many purposes. Like, but you have to choose what's more, I'm going to throw this fun word around, aligned with you. You know, like what connects with you? What do you feel pulled to do? Do you want to be creative? Do you want to write? Do you want to talk like this? You know, do you want to, you know, do corporate in that way? Like, it's just kind of, I feel like we have sub personalities, like overall, and then so
Sub
I
personalities.
don't know. I don't know if that's even a word, but
We can make it a concept.
yeah,
Trademark
we could. I
that.
coined it. I
Yeah.
coined the word.
Trademark that right now. Sub personalities of your primary personalities and then
You
your
know,
tertiary.
like, because we're always changing, we're always evolving. So it's like we're not stagnant beings, you know, human beings change over time and our careers can change, our interests can change, you know. So.
No, I agree. That's the point. That's the whole point. And I think that's what people get fixated on is like, and how it's also discussed, you know, in society, in media, in all these other places, right? It's always feels very definitive of like, this is your destiny, or this is like your fate, or this is like your purpose. And it's functioning under the assumption that there's only one, you know?
Yeah, and that's very
You only
frightening.
have one, and you have to, you know, also sometimes you gotta find that one, right? And then it's just like, but I think whenever the different stories and stuff that we get, here we go again, right? The different stories and the things that we get are all like, I think we're only seeing part of it, you
Yeah.
know, part of those things. And then the stuff that people share are also only parts of their life story, you know? And so you could be getting just a time and place of like, you know, let's say people average 80 years, right? Like you're only getting a section of that. And that's what people amplify or like they focus on. And it's just like, and then if they feel like they lost their purpose, I don't think I believe that as I've gotten older. I just believe that it changes, right? And you have multiple and you know, part of it is also you rediscover again, right? Mm-hmm. And that changes. And I think that's what's hard, because it all is based on change, which we as humans are just not that great at, you know?
Yeah, adaptability. Or like some people really like hold on to their jobs or like the title or whatever they, even the tasks, you know, like I'm this, you know, they hold that. I mean, that's great, but I was never like that, but I don't know. I've had so many things I did, but.
Into a Trevor Noah episode, I'll have to look it up. But Trevor Noah's podcast, that was one of the things he was talking about. And I was like, amen.
What did he say? What was the thing that he said?
They're talking about, like, when people ask you about who you are as a person, you know, most of the U.S. will talk about what they do for work as their job, because they're so closely identifying with the thing you do for work. But if you were to ask someone from somewhere else, not in the U.S., they will say things like, I'm a creative. I like connecting with nature. Or, you know, like, if you ask them who they are, they'll talk about these other things that are almost secondary to US, because it's just like, well, I work in tech and I do blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So it's like, in our nature.
I think it's a cultural thing.
Diverse, right? And that's where most of us identify with. And so even that, it's just like when people, I mean, I'm pretty sure I did it too when I was younger, but as I've gotten older and then people are like, oh, like, what do you do? And I'm like, in what sense? Like, I also just asked that so now too, right? Like, are you like talking about my work, or are you talking about what I do in life? Like, what do you like, what? And even asking that also confuses people, because they're just probably waiting for me to say like, yeah, I work in IT and I blah, 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 you know? But to be fair, sometimes I will just say that depending on the person, because if I want to get into it, I'm going to just tell you the,
just tell them the
mission and energy, right? It's just like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So also
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even talk about intuition, but it's okay. We can. So, just briefly before we wrap up, like, yeah, I mean, the past 2 years, I really listened to how I react, because I mean, the sensations I get, because that's just how I am. So I really have to listen to my intuition. I really have to make sure I feel okay with everything. Like, my body has to feel regulated. Before, I didn't do that when I was younger. Like, I just did whatever I was told to do and just do this, finish that, and whatever. And it never doesn't really end up right. But yeah, I mean, we can continue this personality conversation. Purpose.
It's wheel. I went on a whole nother tangent. Well, because I'm thinking about like your thing is like the wellness. What is it? The wellness part? Just
the Villa of Wellness. Because when I came up with the title, I pictured a place.
Okay.
I pictured a place, the Villa of Wellness. I changed it. It was the Velvety Truth before, but that didn't really. I was like, I don't know. Who knows? I might change it again later on. Who knows?
Yeah, Ability Truth sounds like a sex podcast.
And so it didn't really sound wellness. I wanted the word wellness in there because it's
fair. Sexual wellness is also fair.
It's part of wellness, right? It's part of our life. Like, it's a practice. It's a ritual. It's like, okay, how do we maintain? It's about maintaining sustenance, right? Like, got our minds, our bodies, how we think, how we love people, how we, you know, develop relationships, how we go deep into our friendships. Like, those are like practices that are not really like talked about. We only talk about like skincare, which I do go over, but it's a lot more than that, I feel like. So,
got it.
You know,
I was asking about like the wellness wheel.
Yeah. The wellness wheel. So like,
did you already do that?
I mean, I covered some, but I mean, we can go over, because everybody has a different spin on each one, so.
Yes, and that's why I was like, maybe that's the structure we put.
Yeah, that was my whole thing when I would try to redesign the podcast. I was kind of like, okay, I want this to be a guide for people, but I also want to have discussion, because I just can't just talk to myself. Thank you.
I'm your host, Felicia, and the Villa of Wellness podcast will cover the dimensions of wellness, such as social, emotional, occupational, environmental, and much more. Episodes will be released weekly on Thursdays with me as your guide, helping you on your journey to better health and wellness, and will provide ideas for you for practices you can use to help you stay motivated, positive, and also some courage when you need it. You can reach me on Instagram and YouTube at The Villa of Wellness, and I hope to hear from you and hope you enjoy the show.